Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're
Okay, buddy. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Let's take a moment for ourselves. You can close your eyes if you like. Take a couple of deep breaths. Set for yourself your meaning and your purpose and your willingness this morning. That we might be open to whatever learning is available to us. And that our own healing contributes to the healing of the world. Notice the quiet and the spaciousness. And allow our hearts to be open in gratitude. Does anybody have any leftover stuff from last week or weeks in the past you need to explore or take a look at? We're always open to that. If not, we're going to begin on page 22. And if you don't have a book, it's okay because we'll read it out loud anyway. What's important is not the book so much as the vibration. The difference between having an open heart and a closed heart. The difference between trying to figure out something with our heads as compared to knowing it in our souls. And even though we might seem to be in different places on our spiritual journey, there's also a sameness that we all participate in. Page 22, towards the middle of the page. The instructor you knew by the name of Jesus was trained in this way. This way, meaning when one truly knows who he is, he knows who all others are, and he loves them because he cannot not love them. This is not a new teaching. And anyone who has walked this plane in a realized state has been indoctrinated by the instruction you are receiving.
I am here for the first time. I'm sorry. I didn't see you. Buddha, so Bill. Yeah.
Okay, good to be there.
Thank you.
I'm Linda.
Linda, pleased to be here.
Margo.
Jerry.
Jerry. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Very much.
Appreciate it. I broke every traffic law to get down here as quick as I.
We were just greeting a new member if you got a little bit confused. Let's start from the beginning. The instructor you knew by the name of Jesus was trained in this way. This way, meaning when one truly knows who he is, he knows who all others are, and he loves them because he cannot not love them. This is not a new teaching. And anyone who has walked this plane in a realized state has been indoctrinated by the instruction you are receiving. In other words, what you are hearing this morning and other mornings and other times when you have picked up a book or a book like this is that for most of us, it's not about learning something new. It's about recognizing something that we've already known. You've probably felt that or experienced that with books that we've used in our class on Sunday morning, like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Not sure what lifetime that was, but I remember that. It makes sense. It clicks. It's something that's always been there. I just forgot about it for a while. We have taught for a very long time, if you wish to use time as a structure or frame, and how we teach has never altered. It has always been in vibration and tone, but in ways that were appropriate for the cultures and times we chose to teach through. And that's true for each one of us. This is not the first time we've learned this, and it might not be the last. Good. The way one of our teachers put it was, I know I've probably shared this a number of times, but it's a good thing to be reminded of, is that planet Earth is a classroom. And the major lesson in classroom Earth is to learn how to hold everyone and everything in the energy of unconditional love. And obviously, that's going to take more than one lifetime. It'll probably take a number of lifetimes just simply to be able to forgive ourselves, to be open enough to be able to absorb that truth, to love, to hold everyone and everything in unconditional love. And so we learn a little bit about that this lifetime, a little bit of that next one, a little bit of that next one, until our capacity for unconditional love is as expanded as it possibly can be. How much is enough unconditional love? And again, it's not a contest. It's not a win or lose or draw. It's stretching. It's opening. It's opening ourselves to be able to absorb that energy of unconditional love more and more and more and more. Zoe, you look beautiful with all that light coming in on you.
Yes.
Looks like you're absorbing it as well. That's cool.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, I can feel it.
Well, thanks for passing it on.
You're welcome.
Now, before you sits a man who is in training still, not very different from the rest of you. But he is here to learn who he truly is, as are the rest of you. I wrote a book years ago called Christ in Training. And I feel like that's what we are. We are learning to be the truth of who we are and what we already know, what we already perceive, what we're already in touch with. Except that we probably know that our vibrational level changes from our reaction or our response to external circumstances, just the way it happens. The simplest version I have of that, it came to me a number of years ago, and I know I've shared this one too. It's a simple piece of wisdom, but probably one of the most powerful things I have ever heard through. I won't call him the guide so much, but happened through spirit. Wasn't something that I said, oh, that's a good idea. I think I'll go follow up on that. A very simple little exercise. Ask ourselves the question, is the thought that I am thinking or the action that I'm perceiving myself doing, does it open my heart or does it close my heart? And if you even practice that just a little bit, You'll be able to know the difference between what is an open heart, what's a closed heart. As soon as I think of there are going to be some people in my life, as soon as I start thinking about it, I can feel myself shut down. Not on purpose, it's almost a reflexive action. There are other people that I can think of that I find myself just going. So our vibration, our tone changes, but it is a choice of what channel you tune into. Do I tune into the channel with an open heart, or do I choose to enter the channel with a closed heart? Once I make that conscious, and it needs to be made conscious more than once, but once I make that conscious, it's going to be hard to deny the truth of that. Because I'm going to realize that I'm shutting somebody or something out of my life. I'm putting it in the dark. There's a school in Buddhism called the Mahayana, which is sometimes translated as the big boat or the great vessel. And the philosophy behind it is the boat doesn't leave until everybody's on. So if there's anybody in hiding in your life that you can't stand, there might be a few of those. Then it's going to be difficult for you to get on the boat as well. You can say, well, I'm going to get on the boat, but you don't belong here. The other thing to remember is that what we usually can't stand about somebody else, first of all, is something about ourselves that probably needs some working on. But also that what when we usually say, I can't stand this or I can't stand that, is we're talking about their ego and their personality rather than the sense of who they truly are. Who they truly are is a divine child of God. Nothing can change that. So are you. What we need to realize is that what usually annoys me so much is the personality and ego consciousness that gets in the way of my personality and my ego consciousness. And once I begin to recognize that, I begin to recognize that I can change my vibration, I can change my relationship to you by seeing you or praying to see you as a divine child of God, rather than see you as just a personality or an ego consciousness. That's just a mask you're wearing, just a mask I'm wearing. So are you. Now, before you sits a man who is in training still, not very different from the rest of you. We're all still learning. All the students of these texts are here to learn who they truly are. When the old personality self has fulfilled its use, it is actually discarded. You do not carry a personality from lifetime to lifetime. Once you drop a body, you're also dropping a personality and an ego consciousness. Now, you might have to do some work on that still, even after you drop your body. But eventually, before you incarnate again, you're not incarnating with the same personality and the same ego consciousness. Your personality and your ego consciousness are part of the ego you create, are part of the vehicle you create to be able to navigate this particular lifetime on planet Earth. Your ego and your personality. Now, what we've done here with this book and with other books is we've begun to realize that instead of throwing away the ego and the personality in any particular lifetime, you begin to realize that your personality and your ego consciousness are the unique lens through which the divine light shines through. The unique lens to, when you say, I am a divine child, I'm a unique child of God, I am a unique divine child of God. Excuse me. When you say that, you're saying that I still have a personality and ego consciousness, but it's first of all, it's not who I am. I'm more defined by my divine nature than I am by anything else. But the other piece of it is, as being a unique expression of divine consciousness, the ego consciousness that I have, the ego consciousness that I have and the personality that I have become the lens, the unique lens, through which the divine light shines through. Good morning, guys. All the students of these texts are here to learn who they truly are. When your old personality self has fulfilled its use, it's actually discarded. It's dropped off. You know, I don't need this anymore. Yeah, Linda. Oh, I'm on page 22.
Okay, thank you.
There are degrees of comprehension through similarity, but the tone of the soul is what moves between lives. And it is the tone of the soul in acceleration that mandates change or an altering of the structure of being. In other words, you can't stay where you are, all right? It's kind of that simple. The soul is, how did Augustine put it? O Lord, you have made our souls restless, and they will never rest until they rest in thee. And so we will probably continue to be, it's sort of the paradox of spiritual growth. We are perfect just where we are, and we're also growing at the same time. And I am restless, and at the same time, I'm satisfied. Because in this moment, I cannot be any more than I am. I cannot stretch myself any further than I stretch myself. Next moment, I'm going to stretch myself a little bit more. But I can't be other than what I am. The tone of the soul in acceleration that mandates change or an altering of structure of being. In other words, you can't stay where you are. The ego wants to know, when is this going to be finished? When is this going to be done? When am I going to be? I want to, you know, sit back and sip lemonade in the hammock. And that's the way the ego lives, always looking for one thing or another. Whereas the soul says, I am perfect just where I am, and I'm willing to grow at the same time. Yeah.
What is the structure of this class? We have a question.
Anytime, question, answers.
Okay, so you don't wait for the end.
No.
Well,
right. That's right.
I'm Aaron. This is my first time.
No, you're more than welcome. The only thing, if you have, for people who are new to this particular group, we're using this particular book.
Yeah.
Called The Book of Innocence by Paul Selig, and if you have questions that feel like they're a repetition of things that we've already covered, I will see you individually and work those out. Okay? But you can ask them anytime.
Well, I just want to ask this one quick one. It's because I immediately like you.
Oh, of course.
Whatever you're like, in my mind, wow, perfect. Instructor, and I respect you, and so what is the ego and what is the soul? If there's a quick little definition that comes,
it's a good question because we probably haven't dwelled on that. The question is, how do we define an ego? How do we define the soul?
Because we're talking about ego.
Yeah. We're not speaking about ego in the Freudian sense. This is not a psychological term. It's more of a spiritual term. My ego is my personal identity, might be the simplest way of putting it. So it's a construct that has come from all sorts of different sources, from the churches we belong to, from our parents, from our teachers early in life, right? Have all gotten into the pattern of telling us who we are. The difficulty is most of the people who are telling us who we are, they don't know who they are. But we picked it up anyway, and we kind of absorbed that ourselves. So my ego consciousness is a construct that has been built up around years and years and years in different forms and different pieces of information that I usually refer to myself as it's the meanness of things. Whether that's real or correct or not is... We're not debating that. It's just saying, here is, well, let's take a for instance. Here's Jerry Boylan doing his Sunday morning class. Now, if I was just doing this out of my ego consciousness, right, you wouldn't be, you wouldn't, probably wouldn't stay here very long, okay? Well, that's just another ego talking. When somebody comes up, somebody, Terry, like you mentioned or hinted at, when somebody touches your soul or touches your heart, right, there's a whole different energy with that. An energy that you respond to. So my spiritual nature, or my soul, or my spirit, is my understanding or my recognition of my connection to divine consciousness. To put it as simply as I can.
The way I look at it, I have a human body, my ego, but I have a divine, I'm also divine.
Yes.
So I'm a child of God. I can't be anything but divine.
Exactly. Your divine nature is more of a definition of who you are than your ego is. Our ego is part of our vehicle here on planet Earth. It's how we navigate. Not who you are, but it's an expression of where you are or how you've learned to identify yourself up until this particular time. We're not going to throw that away. We're going to put it in a little bit of a different framework of saying, my ego consciousness is not who I am, but it is the lens, this is my philosophy anyway, it is the lens through which divine consciousness shines through. So you go, oh, there's the divine consciousness as Terry. There's divine consciousness as Margot. There's divine consciousness as E, as Jerry, right? They all have a little bit of a different flavor, but the same kind of light that shines through in a certain way, in a certain way to be able to understand that. Okay? That helps out?
Yeah. So the ego is like, it's everything that we've been told by people here on Earth that we are.
And
it's kind of like
exactly.
a mirror of all our experiences.
Exactly so.
So that's how we see ourselves.
Exactly.
People tell us something, it sinks in a little
and
bit.
We've used that for years to define ourselves. And now we're saying, that's nice to have. It's more of a mask or a disguise or a uniform you're wearing. But that's not the truth of who you are. Truth of who you are lies much deeper than that. It's what we call your divine consciousness. You don't lose your ego, but it becomes a vehicle rather than a definition.
Jerry.
Yeah, John.
Oh, Mike, what I'm seeing here is the tone of the soul is acceleration that mandates change or an altering in structure of being. So what I'm thinking is what that resonates for me is tone is like the musical scale, or it's a musical sound. How do you accelerate a tone? Or is it that you move from one tone to another? Or, I mean, so we're talking about that higher self that is accelerating in some fashion
mm-hmm.
that then changes the conditions of which you're currently experiencing.
Okay. Let's suppose I take somebody in my life, let's say a political character, so it doesn't make it personal. Let's suppose I have a political character in my life. In other words, I'm affected by this being in certain ways, and I can't stand them. Okay. That's where I'm at this particular moment. There's a certain vibration then that's going on between me and this other person. First of all, my heart shuts down. Okay. I might be angry, I might be hurt, I might be judgmental, I might be all sorts of other things. And if I choose to, I can actually almost feel that physically in my physical body. That low vibe, let's say that lower vibration energy of anger or fear or retribution or vengeance or whatever might happen to be. And then I remember, This is also a divine child of God. I might not see him or her that way, but I know the truth of that, because I also realize the truth of when I say that I'm a divine child of God, I can't leave anybody out of that picture. If I leave anybody out of that picture, I'm leaving myself out of that picture. So I say, well, I don't feel this emotionally. I still can't stand your ego and your personality that you've got, that you've created for this particular lifetime. But I am working on knowing the truth of who you are. Lord, that I may see. May I see you the way God sees you. May I see you at a higher vibrational level than the one my mind puts you in. And what would it be like if I saw you, really perceive you as being a divine child of God? How, what kind of a difference would that make in the vibration between the two of us? That I
I had a political figure that I couldn't stand.
Mm-hmm.
And I said one day, he's a child of God, just like I am.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, immediately there was a release, a let go, you know, of all that shit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say it doesn't come back sometimes, but I'm a lot better with it than I am.
Yeah. And you probably find out that you need to work on that more than once. Yeah, Terry.
That's the question. Are there political figures that are like Hitler that are child of Satan?
No. That's my belief anyway. The answer to that is no. That in God's universe, everyone and everything has a purpose. And everyone and everything is part of my learning experience. And part of my learning experience might be non-judgmentalness, saying, you know, I have no idea what the purpose of this person is here on planet Earth. It seems to be totally contradictory to whatever I believe in. And yet there is a deeper learning that maybe I'm not aware of in this particular form. But I will know the truth of that when I drop my body or go into a different kind of existence. I really feel like that's true.
Terry?
Yeah, Paul?
So am I'm gathering here, as I think deeply on this, that really we're all just responding to vibrations in reality. So like I could talk about feeling someone's like he's a child, everyone is a child of God, everyone is created by the same force. But if within me I have animosity or just don't like them, that vibration still stays there. So like there's no escaping the real feeling that we are working on within ourselves. And to be honest about our feelings is how we can go deeper to maybe achieve truly feeling the oneness of everyone. Otherwise, the vibration that's going on within us and is remains out there. Is that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's probably the reason why I flip things around to the best of my ability and turn that into that simple phrase or that simple prayer, Lord, that I may see. May I see this person or this individual the way you see them. Just holding that thought doesn't completely change the vibration, because I might still be in the place where I can't stand you, all right? But it does change my vibrational level of how I'm beginning to relate to you. And that might take more than one try. It might take more than one lifetime. But eventually, how did Marianne Williamson put it? Eventually, God will outsmart your self-hatred.
Because we can't escape the vibration.
What was that, Paul?
We can't escape the vibrations.
Right. You can't pretend it's not there.
Right.
But I can say I can make my prayer to be present to or open to a higher vibrational level between you and me than I might have been 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I can't, but eventually my feelings will catch up with the rest of me. But I don't have to let them define my relationship with you either. That makes sense?
Yes, yes.
Thanks for that, Paul.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. So this really resonates with me. And the way you laid it out in terms of the ego self, I get that. I connect with that, man. And and you're right. It's a practice. For me, for Jim, it's a practice to continue to recognize that when I'm out and about after this class, during a week, whatever the case is, that when I see someone, let me be willing to see and know that we're all connected by, you know, by the infinite, by God. And what's outpicturing the personality self, let me be willing to look beyond that, knowing that that's not who they are. That's not the who that they are. The other thing, and it's a practice, and it's, you know, because I certainly don't believe that there's no there in this incarnation of us. There's no finish line. So I'm constantly unfolding. I know on a personal level, when I was maybe dropped off in Kentucky 7 years ago, Jim had to confront certain perceived biases that I had with respect to this neck of the woods. And so this has really kind of been a classroom for me to just kind of like, okay, discard or be aware that that's not who or who they are. That's just the personality self. And like what you said, if no one gets left behind. So if I'm saying that about me, that I am, certainly they are as well. You just nailed it, Jerry. I just want to say that. Thank you, man.
And thanks for stressing or mentioning again that whole idea of willingness, Jim.
Yeah.
That's extremely important as well. I'm reminded of an analogy from Alan Watts, the Zen teacher. He said, I'd like you to imagine that that God likes to play games. And his favorite game is hide and seek. But since there's only one of them, he has to pretend and put on different disguises to pretend that they're separate. So we all choose, let's say we all choose, all of us in this room have chosen a particular disguise, a particular mask to wear that we call our ego or our personality that makes us separate, or we think it makes us separate. And we go through our lives sometimes really thinking that all the way through. And then somebody blows a whistle and yells out, ollie, ollie, in free. And everybody drops their disguise and go running back to the one. And you go, who were you that time? Guess who I was? We are all on this. Despite all the differences we think we have, we are still all one. I'm going to do one more paragraph and then we'll do our meditation. You are altered by these teachings. You're different than the person who walked in this room half an hour ago. You might not think that. If you think you're the same one, by the way, if somebody asks you, you know, what's going on with you? Oh, same old, If you ever hear me say that, put a bullet through my head. Because I've completely stopped growing, or I've completely stopped becoming. You are altered by these teachings. You like to think of change as improved, but in this way, it's rather different. This is really interesting. We have never improved anything. We have restored many things. I can't improve your divine consciousness. It's already who you are. It's already perfect. I can renew the message that you have forgotten maybe out of yourself. We have never improved anything. We restored many things. We have seen many people on many paths with the same deep yearning for reconciliation with God. And because we know who we are, we may show you who you are. Because we know who you are, we can show you who you are. Do you know who you are? The truth of our expression has come by different names in different times. This is about the second or third time this has come up. You may know us as Melchizedek. The guys were asked directly in one of the earlier books, what should we call you? And basically they said, you can call us anything you want, okay? It's not gonna change who we are. But if you want a name, we'll give you a name. Melchizedek was a high priest in the Old Testament. Showed up, I think, twice, two times, without much of an explanation, right? You may know us as Christ's truth, because that is how we define ourselves as a teaching. We are not human beings, although some of us have known ourselves through form. Indeed, we are your teachers, or you choose to be taught. In an earlier work, they said some of us, these are my words, we are a composite. We're a group of beings, some of whom have experienced life on planet Earth and some who haven't, some who have experienced physical form and some who have not. That only matters to the mind, to the thinking mind. The thinking mind likes to have little hooks to hold on to. What they're saying right now is that's what you can call us, but what we're here for you to teach you, right, is to help you learn on the deepest level possible the truth of who you are. That's it. To help you on the deepest level possible the truth of who you are. So we're going to take a couple minutes. I got to leave a little bit early this morning because I got altar duty. So we're going to ask you to take a couple minutes to just put your stuff down and be in that comfortable place where you are. Close your eyes if you like. And take a couple of deep breaths. And if you can allow your mind to quiet just a bit more. No push, no beating it up, just kind of move, just kind of let it rest over in the side someplace. And become aware of the spaciousness that you have created for yourself and for others. It's almost like your awareness has expanded beyond the physical realm. And there is a spaciousness that you are both part of and that surrounds you. And you allow the spaciousness, or what I'm calling the spaciousness, you allow that to speak to you. And it might speak to you in silence. might speak to you in gratitude, might speak to you in joy. Might speak to you in freedom. And allow yourself to absorb that teaching on all levels of your being, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. So that you vibrate in tone of high frequency, where you can see yourself and see others differently than you might have before. And know that you can take that with you. To get in touch with your rhythm of your breathing, the rhythm of your heartbeat. With a sense of love and gratitude, and stretch a bit. Open your eyes when you're ready. So thank you all for being here, for yourself, for the world. Know that you contribute to the world's healing as well as your own.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome, guys.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry. Have a beautiful day, everyone.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks.